There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
That's I had great. A dream last night that my hands were slit open from my middle finger down to the bottom of my palm and all the meat was sliding off it, but I wasn't bleeding. Hmm. And then I'd look back and they were fine. What does that mean?
Be prepared next time you cut your radishes, you know?
When do I cut my radishes?
I don't know.
What am I? Am I a French chef?
Yeah.
Am I ratatouille sitting in the kitchen?
I don't know.
I'm no Patton Oswalt rat. Because Patton Oswalt hates women. That's something that we know.
I learned that on Facebook and Twitter this
Heaven and
this
hell isn't
week.
Real, but Patton Oswalt does not like women.
We've heard it. Are we ready to rock and roll?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's Marcus. I'm Ben. And then to my left, we got this young fella. He's fresh. He's in a fun mood.
Fancy Feast. He needs a browsie.
Fancy Feast.
I like the taste of real liver. I like the taste of real chicken.
That's good.
I am a Mexican cat.
Really?
I'm Henry Zebrowski.
That's nice. I like Mexican cat.
I'm just waiting for this
Henry
coffee
Zebrowski.
To kick in. I gotta get this first layer of espresso into my system before I can be properly online.
How much by the gallon Fancy Feast do you think you eat in a week?
Oh my god! I mean, the government, as we know for a fact, does a lot of things. I mean, we know about the pink goo. Mm-hmm. You know, we
That's
know
the
about
chicken McNugget.
Yes,
sure. Mm-hmm.
We know about corn fodder that they jam into the thoraxes of our cows in order to make them large.
Yes. Right?
Ah! Yeah, right. Yeah. Just like that.
Let's say they used to sound now they sound.
I mean, notice the difference.
Yeah, Marcus has the best cow impression in the radio game. Everyone's always said that about him, and I didn't believe it until right now. That's amazing.
Can you do a chicken one?
He's done the chicken. He's done the chicken one before.
I don't know about the chicken.
Honestly, feel like it's, I don't know if that's a chicken.
I didn't grow up with chickens. I grew up with cows.
I don't know if that's a chicken or if like balls could talk. I feel like that's just what your ball sack sounds like waving in the wind.
That just sounded like Ed's hemorrhoids.
All right, let's just get to today's topic. I personally love this one. We're talking about the afterlife, heaven and hell.
Is it real? No.
Thank God. Do whatever you want in this world, because this is the only opportunity you have to live.
We sat down and we watched an amazing new documentary on the Sci-Fi Channel that just came out like last week called The Life After Death Project, which was, I love me some ghosties.
Of course.
You know, I love things that go creepy, crawly in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a bit about this on 4chan. Someone had posted that this special was coming up. And then I listened to Paul Davids, who is the director and writer of the documentary on Coast to Coast. And very highly interesting stuff. This is one of the most illuminating documentaries. We watched about an hour of it together.
Yep.
That was nice.
It was fun to
we
have
had a
little
nice afternoon together.
Alone time together.
Because we also good. Because I don't have a full couch, I just have a love seat. Mm. So it's like our butts were touching.
Our butts were
as
touching.
As we were watching it,
and
which
then,
is kind of nice.
Yeah, we just slowly got closer and closer as the couch got more and more exhausted from holding our weight.
And what's
and
weird
we just,
is,
like, went down like it was a sinkhole.
Your skin, like, adopts things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your skin, like...
The like thing.
Like,
yeah.
I felt my leg becoming indistinguishable from your leg.
Right,
as
yeah.
we sat, because your skin just kind of slides over. Does that happen with women?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never been with one, but as soon as I experienced that, I'll let you know. But I'll tell you, we were watching a documentary on life after death, but we were just sitting right there in heaven.
Loving
we?
It. Loving I mean, it. If there loving was a hell, I didn't know it because I was sitting there with my best friend.
That's right. So let's go to the beginning of this documentary. A fellow named Ackerman.
There is a very famous horror movie memorabilia collector named Forshay Ackerman.
Probably the coolest guy of all time.
I mean, either cool. I mean, coolest slash loneliest.
Yeah.
Just because
yeah.
he like lived in a world of, you know, just monster heads. I mean, he had his best friend, confidant, advisor, and caregiver, Joe Mo.
Joe Mo may, well, let's just say was madly in love with Mr. Ackerman.
Yes, he is.
And
he's like a Lurch. He's like a yes. big gay Lurch. And whenever they would cut to him in the documentary, it would be him just going like, oh, you know, Forey and I, when I washed his feet,
mm-hmm.
I loved the playful smile that go on his mouth. I don't know what the accent was.
Yeah, it was a good impression, though.
So, he has like a bowl cut. I think he's Hawaiian. Hawaiian, I always imagine, is some sort of weird bastard, some sort of accent between Irish and Japanese.
So you're saying the Hawaiian accent is a bastard language?
It's a little bit more like this. Like this. Oahu.
When the lava
Marcus,
comes
say,
out
stick
the
with
mountain.
The cows and the chicken impressions. So Ackerman, who's like huge, he's a major iconic horror fella, major collector.
And he is a famous atheist. He specifically said, I don't believe in any of the things that I love. He thought that sci-fi was a beautiful dream that men had, you know, and that it was about like our best possible future.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, very famous. He run a thing called Famous Monsters Magazine. I know there's going to be a lot of people Chris Brown from A Call of Puppets, who listens to the podcast, is probably a massive fan of Forshay Ackerman. This is a guy, he's very important to the horror community.
He is.
And he said, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, you know, and joked famously to Paul Davids while he was alive when they knew each other, saying like, okay, if there's a heaven and if I go, once I'm done partying with everybody, once I'm done, you know, letting Sammy Davis Jr. sit in my lap.
Yeah, finger banging the virgin, not anymore. Not for the Ackerman.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry.
And he once he's done, he said he'll come by and he'll say hello. And everyone's just like, Forrest, you're hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what that was the one thing. What I hate with the way scientists describe people with senses of humor, because every time anyone describes him, he's like, you know, he was prevalent with a joke. You know, he would just say something like, oh, he had quite a banal humor about him.
There was a great Oprah Winfrey joke, as a matter of fact. Remember that Oprah joke that he told?
Mm-hmm.
I forget how it goes, but
I'm going to make a new Phantom of the Opera film.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But starring Oprah. And I'm going to call it Phantom of the Opera.
People.
And all of the sci-fi people.
But it was sort of a situation like if you would play basketball against like Kim Jong-un, like every shot, that's a great shot, Kim. That's a great shot.
People were very, it was so a sci-fi old audience. They were just happy to see the 90-year-old man get out there and speak. Yes.
He was also known as Forry and the Acker Monster.
Yeah, the Acker Monster. And he also he would put on all of his like address slips, California, like Boris Karloff, you know, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, you know, again, he poo-pooed the idea of an afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Heavily poo-pooed it.
Poo-pooed.
And so they were making a memorial after he died. And sadly, he died at the age of 92. He wanted to be 100 years old, but, I mean,
sometimes you win, sometimes you die.
Your body's made out of origami cranes. You're 92 years old. Anything can kill you.
You know, and you God knows how bad those jokes were going to get.
If you're 92 right now, let go. You know, because in the end, you're taking up all the corn feed. That's our corn feed.
Yeah, I've heard that about old people.
Yeah, and they're sucking up our pink goo.
Sucking up the pink goo.
And my
eating
cat
all the
food, my cat food infused hot dogs.
Sadly, there are a lot of 92-year-old people eating Fancy Feast right now. No idea it's for cats. No idea.
This is some fancy tuna.
This is nice.
Oh, man. I can't believe they did all these. They pull out all the stops for these cats.
So basically, when they were making the memorial for Forshay Ackerman, two Canadian filmmakers went and they were like playfully, they're nerds. They went up to his grave and they were like knocked. They were like, oh, hey there, Forry, you home, Forry? You know, And they get back to the hotel and basically they're going to write about how like they visited his grave. And when they go to write in the CAPTCHA to log in securely into their blog, it says Ackerman. The CAPTCHA's Ackerman. They're like, okay. And they refresh it again and again, and they keep saying Ackerman.
Right.
And then he's just like, what is going on here? It's like Forshay Ackerman. It literally was like, Forshay Ackerman's dead. And then the computer behind them, which is really cool in the documentary, they went straight to the room, and they're nerds. And so they're like, we were in our exact same positions. I was here, and Donald was over there. And he's like, I was here. And so they like cut over, and apparently the other computer fired up into a pop-up window that was like some weird orange circle going like, oh my God, no way.
Which is
that's what it was saying. Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, that's just what it was saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that means I was going to make a joke where the computer just turned on and said, hey.
Hey
there, guys. But so Phantom of the Opera. Oh my God, Ackerman's in the computer.
He's making bad jokes from the grave.
Oh, this is great stuff. So anyway, but this is kind of a funny thing. So they see the Ackerman thing, of course.
So that was the first
incident. But as we're watching it, don't forget, the name Kissel also popped
up. Oh, and I took a picture of it. I'll put it on the thing. In terms of synchronicities, and that is part of what the there is a scientist here named what's his first name?
They were
Gary
showing
Schwartz.
A bunch of different like pop-ups. So you have to type in to think to you know, get to a page or whatever.
And captures. Gary, and one of the captures was Kissel? Kissel.
One of the captures was Kissel.
And I took a picture of it. Yeah, absolutely have it. Of course, evidence. but so this Dr. Dr. Gene Schwartz comes on, and that's a part of one of his major like outlining. Theories as their proof of the afterlife, mm-hmm. and one of those is synchronicities. And through this story of channeling Forrest J. Ackerman's ghost, there is it's crazy. Like the sort of things that happen are very strange. Like, well, Paul Davids. It starts with Paul Davids, the documentary filmmaker who right. made it. Heard that story from these Canadians, and he was like, okay, whatever, you know. But this is a guy who's only done, like, lots of different controversial stuff. And so the last special he did was all on, you know, Jesus after he was 13. There's a lot of stories saying about how there was a long time period missing between that and when they finally
nailed him
to the tree. And that was when he was in India being with the Mahatma Guru, like, mm-hmm. smoking Thai sticks and writing psychedelic music.
Exactly.
While dressed as a train conductor. And that's a big documentary.
Now, this is the Bible I would have really followed.
An accurate breakdown of Sgt. Pepper's?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And so they basically, here's the story. It's like, oh, sure. And so he's staying in a hotel while traveling for business, and he has an agenda that, again, a thing I don't particularly understand. He has an agenda that he printed off of his computer screen.
This is something that older people do with
the
internet.
They print. I don't know why they think it's easier to have the papers in your hand, because the papers get manipulated by ghosts.
And that's what happened in this situation. So he goes to take a shower, probably the only shower that man was going to take all week.
Well, he specifically nailed it down. He's like, I went in, I took a shower.
Or just took a large dump. It wasn't. They did do a quick cutaway. He just goes into the bathroom, you just see him coming out, just like, Duke.
Let's just say he was gone for an indeterminate period of time.
Indeed. Much
and
like
let
Jesus.
Us not specify what was spent.
But then he also threw in there that he was like, and then I went down to the Indian casino and I gambled. I lost $100.
Yeah. So that's the kind of money this guy's playing with. As soon as he lost $100, he's like, I got to go like
penny slots.
Exactly.
And he lost $100. So he was there for a couple hours.
Well, I'm dead broke. All right. Time to go. So he gets out of the bathroom.
So he gets
out of
the bathroom and he comes up and he finds that on the sheet of paper, one line is really weirdly, like hours after he printed it, one line is wet and smeared on the paper. It is a thing that he wrote on there called Speak to Joe Imoti, who is like some random, I think a bookie. He doesn't actually say who it is. Meantime, he's being like, Joe Imoti, that's somebody who doesn't even matter to me. Like he's like, would say stuff like that. Or just like, you're avoiding Joe. Because when you look at more screenshots of your agenda, Joe Imoti's like all over it. So
Yeah.
Like he's important to you.
The sentence was, speak to Joe Imoti about all the money that I owe him.
Give me back my son! He's just like, he's just doing ransom negotiations with Joe Imoti.
Right.
And so he takes it, finding inside, he's like, okay, this is really weird. He starts like taking it to various scientists who look at it. They don't know how it's been changed.
It was interesting though, because these scientists, these are real experts, they didn't know what the ink was made out of. They couldn't place it.
And they said that the nitrates were found in the ink that was over it. They said that they found silver nitrites in it that haven't been used in printing since the 1800s.
Right.
Like stuff that's like very kooky dooky weird stuff. I also won't go into all the synchronicities, but then they had several mediums come in, and they said these are the top mediums like in the world.
Right.
And one was named, she's from Israel. I'm not really sure what the name was. So she's Klingon.
She's a Klingon.
Yeah.
Yes. And so she went in there and she was just, they didn't tell her anything. She was just nailing shit. And what I do appreciate with this specific documentary and this crew of people is that it was run by Gary Schwartz, who is fucking accredited like a maniac. Like we're talking about like one of the head of quantum mechanics for Harvard. Like this guy who is like a real, not just a, I mean, he's got a lot of rings on now.
Sure.
You know, and because now that he's in charge of this, I forgot what his actual society, he is in charge of this program that specifically studies the afterlife. And he is straight up like, believes it.
Right.
He thinks it's real. And because he has four parameters for why he thinks ghosts are real, which is, you know, there's physical phenomena, mm-hmm. like what happened with the paper. Like, and then there's synchronicities. And so, you know, like, one of the ones was, like, couple friends were having dinner with Paul Davids. Paul Davids comes over to a friend, like, a friend's house for dinner. He brings a specific bottle of wine. He just goes and buys this nice bottle of wine. Guy goes, like, where the fuck did you get this bottle of wine? He's just like, oh, I got it. You know, I just went to BevMo, and I got it from BevMo. And he, like, got it, and he's just like, well, not only is this, like, an incredibly rare vintage of wine, but it's a rare vintage of wine in the year 2004, which is the year I got married. I served this wine at my wedding, right, because we love it so much, and we had 10 people at our wedding, and one of those 10 people was Forrest J. Ackerman. So it was like,
there we go.
That was like, whoa, boom.
It's all
weird.
Making sense.
But it's like, it's not dead proof, but it's like a thing that's just like, what? Like, that's just, like, why would it connect back? And there were so many stories like that. And then the next one was the idea of mediums picking up on it,
sure.
specifically these hypersensitive ones. And I mean, and they were like, hot 45-year-olds.
So you were fully engorged at this point.
I mean, I was just
and
like,
totally on board.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. You know, and then
do you remember the old gypsy woman that we went to in the West or in the East Village?
I believe
you didn't believe her.
Well, it's different. She had eye tumors.
Yeah,
her tear ducts were inflamed.
She had eye tumors, and we could see her game room. And I think a couple of kids running around in there.
And the last one was this sort of technological, like, research that he believes it proves it entirely. What he has is this machine, and what he's been working on for years and years is a way to properly measure, like, ghost activity.
He has an actual ghost machine?
He has a ghost machine, which is a... it is a machine that detects photons inside of a box that's inside of a box that's inside of a box that's inside of a box. And in this, the idea is to create, like, perfect darkness and perfect non-activity in the space that this photon thing was. And then what he does now, I mean, it's strange, but he sits in a room and asks ghosts questions and then watches the things go bleep. Bleep, 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 and this, like, photons show up in this totally dark, like, space.
That's cool.
And so it's like, and then he started believing he was speaking with Forrest J. Ackerman. And but the thing was, which was really crazy, is all these mediums and all these people who have had no communication about this man all said the same thing. You know, he's very funny. He is, he's having fun with you. Like, this whole thing is fun for him. Like, he's showing up. He loves to play it. He's figured it out. Like, he wants you to know that he's communicating with you, and he wants you to know that he's there. There is an afterlife. He's living in something.
And the people that moved into his house after he died, of course, I don't know what they did
Man,
with all of his...
Man, what a fucking dickhead. What a bunch of dickheads.
They just cleared out everything that was in his house. And they were just huge monsters
and
just posters.
And they just made it this disgusting, like, McMansion. And it's just this dickhead with a fucking Ed Hardy...
You know,
actors.
He had the cape that Bela Lugosi wore in Plan 9.
It's probably
and
in the garbage
the
somewhere.
And he had the ring. That was another weird synchronicity, is that the ring that he belonged to him to Bela Lugosi, that he got from Bela Lugosi when he filmed, it was like Dracula versus Frankenstein, I think. He had it, and then they sold it to an estate. The estate sold it to another person who sold it to a guy who were in Europe. Sold it to a guy who worked for a pawn shop. That pawn shop, like some weird antiquity store, that antiquity store turned out to be a block from the director's house. And he walked by and he was like, boom, there's the ring that Forrest J. Ackerman wore. It's crazy.
I would like to see the documentary, like, just follow that ring. That sounds very exciting.
Follow that ring.
Follow it.
But it's just about an asshole.
Ooh, butt rings. Yeah.
But that's what, but this is, it's
but anyway,
a very,
he haunted the hell out of these actors, which was
which is great. Yeah, she was like, you know, it's like Tennant. She's just like, I'm in here trying to work on my new pop song, you know. And then I went into the kitchen, you know, get a couple glasses of wine. And then when I came back out, all my music sheets are spread everywhere. And that's what he said that he would do all the time, too, is that he would take people's shit and spread it everywhere. Like, he would, like, this ghost would just throw stuff all around.
Yeah.
And the knees.
The knees?
Their knees.
Yes.
Spread the knees.
I see.
Uh-huh. To lick their vagina with his long 92-year-old ghost tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a ghost. Get in the cleft.
Go sexual healing type situation there. Yeah.
But then there's a lot of stories about, and so now, just from there, we want to just break into the world of like more stories of people who've been to the afterlife and back, who've seen some near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. I think that we found some real fucking true shit
here.
We
found some good stories. And assuming that Mr. Ackerman, that Mr. Ackerman is actually in heaven, we have to assume that that he's haunting these people and heaven is real. So these folks.
It was something like it. I mean, there's constant stories. We've talked about them before. You know, there's things like the Bardo. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot about this idea that it's in every single culture that when you die, a part of what your living life is supposed to be is mentally training yourself for the obstacle course that is the labyrinth into the afterlife, which doesn't really make sense why it has to be that way. But it's like there's a lot of stories about, like, you know, things you have to overcome. There's also, I was reading about the Kabbalah. Recently, and the Kabbalah with their nine circles is very interesting. Apparently, we're in the last one, the Malcha.
I don't think you understand what you're reading.
I know that there's, but they use
the
Kabbalah.
Like the name of that woman.
It's very similar. Mm. I just need it written out in just letters. You
right,
know?
Right,
if you
right,
could
right.
just write it down in letters and tell me how to say the letters, I'll be fine. You know?
Yeah.
When things get into symbols, you know, it's like I just look at Korean and I'm just like, it's 94999. Is this numbers?
Yeah, you sound like Rain Man. Yeah, I understand it. Well, let's get into our first story. Do we want to do Angelica Zambrano?
Sure. Angelica Zambrano was shown the kingdoms of heaven and hell and the return of Christ. This is her video testimony translated in English.
I love this so much.
It's my favorite.
She saw many, many a people down in hell.
Yeah, many celebrities. Let's find out who she saw down there.
Let's see.
Saw some people run. Almost everyone that were there in the flames would run towards that place where it rained. And when I looked, they yelled out, "No!" They would yell, "Help me, Lord," because at a distance, they could see that the Lord was here. They
this
said,
is her
this
in hell, where God said that she had to see hell.
And the demons would begin to laugh. Then I looked and saw how the flames would multiply. I could see how the worms would multiply in them. And so what happened was that it was not water, but sulfur, in which it multiplied the flames and tormented the people. And the demons would laugh and say, "Worship and adore, because this is your kingdom. This is your kingdom. You have to worship. It's your kingdom forever and ever," the demons would say. And I said, "Lord, what's this?" And he said, "This is the price of that person that has not repented." Uh-huh. And the Lord took me to a place where there was a man that was well known. Like back then, when like me and a friend were attending church and living a double life and in the walk with God, and I would think that all of them that would die would go to heaven, that every person that were there at the services would go to heaven. But I was very wrong.
Very wrong.
When the Pope John Paul II died, my friends and cousins would tell me that he has gone to heaven.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
commentaries
your friends would tell
on
you that.
TV that would say that the Pope has died. Rest in peace. For he's not rejoicing with the Lord and the angels and the angels of heaven. And I would believe all this, but I was lying to myself about all this. And then all of a sudden, I would see a man that was being tormented in those flames. And I saw his face, and the Lord showed me his face. And it was the Pope John Paul II.
I love to hear it.
And he's here in this place and being tormented for not repenting. And then I said, "Lord, why is he here in this place? If he was preaching at church and he said, 'Daughter,' because nor fornicator, nor idolater, no money grubber, nor liar would inherit my kingdom."
Hell yeah, that's right. God's talking the truth, buddy.
All right. And of course, there's another celebrity in hell.
Yes.
Let's move on to him.
Famous people, like, I should say, Michael Jackson.
Ah!
This person was a well-known and famous person at a worldly level. And this person was very satanic, although many people never knew this. Mm. But this is true. Because he had made satanic pacts and he had made deals with Satan to be able to have his fame and many fans.
This woman, too, is that apparently she started having her visions after a 21-day fast. They went and had they were a part of some fucking weird sect of Christianity that they were like, they were, I mean, I honestly, I am next to one of these, like, I guess it's like a Spanish, like, Pentecostal service.
Oh, sure. Which they're is, a like, little bonkers.
It's really very strange. They always give me, you know, I mean, I got devil shirts on. I'm standing outside.
Oh, sure.
You know, throwing cigarette butts in there, you know, like telling them, just being like, yeah, I fought at the hot dog factory, you idiots. You know, as they walk in there.
Yeah, just
so I understand why I'm getting problems from them.
Right.
But I do think that it's very weird. Yeah. But yeah, that's what they said. They really do. They think that John Paul, they think that he's a sinner. And they think that, like, they also, there's a whole section when her great grandmother's in hell.
You know,
because she never forgave her daughter, or like something, some like weird, dumb thing. Which is like, there's just no reason. And there was another guy, I forgot his name, that was on the same website, testimoniesofheavenandhell.com, which is a lot of fun.
There's also, let's not forget about another famous singer that young Angelica saw in hell, Selena.
Yeah.
The woman that was shot in the head by her manager.
Yeah. She saw Selena.
She saw Selena in hell.
She
so
saw
in other
Selena
words, she
hell.
Just saw the two biggest people to ever exist in Latin culture.
Right. And then Michael Jackson,
Pope
who
John
was the
Paul
the second.
Bigger. There's nine bigger. It's Selena and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And the they're signing pacts with the Satan because it gets them their fame.
Yeah.
That fucking, I was so stoned last night. I got so stoned and I watched about 45 minutes of that.
I mean, there's an hour and 20 minutes of footage.
What
and this isn't this is translation. This is not, the little girl is speaking in Spanish and what you hear is a translator who I think is putting her own spin on things.
Well, could
you
be.
It's not a he. It's not a she either. It's a he because he also does the mother and then you listen to him pitch his voice up. For the daughter, like when he—it's the same dude doing the whole thing.
He's a pro.
He's a showman.
What's the torture that Pope John Paul is going through? I mean, is it a pineapple in the butt or what's happening?
I like to think
it was worms.
It was
worms are eating
worms.
His flesh.
Okay,
she said the same thing that each one of them had a patch of metal in them that was unaffected by the worms.
Okay.
But then, like, you know, worms were crawling. They said there were a bunch of demons were raping her grandmother, and that worms were like eating her face and her ass.
Yeah.
Which is just like, you know.
I mean, don't even.
Why do we got to show her these things? Yeah. Why does God show her these
why
things?
Why does God choose a 13-year-old girl?
Why did God make a hell in the first place? Is there any of this stuff?
This is something that I have figured out. Or not really figured out, but something that I have heard from people giving their testimonies. What Jesus tells them is that God did not create hell for sinners. God created hell to hold Satan.
That doesn't make any sense.
And his followers. However,
well,
people,
good, because he likes it. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Satan loves it.
But people would not repent for their sins. They would not repent. So he started sending sinners to hell. So he didn't create it for them.
There was another.
It would just happen to be convenient.
I feel like a lot of these aren't even about not repenting. There's a lot of forgiveness stuff in here. That's why her great-great-grandmother was down there. And that's why this other fella, Daniel.
He's from Africa.
Yeah, Nigeria. He was an actual pastor. He died. He went to hell because he didn't forgive his wife before she died.
But if you listen to this story, the story is just like, she come to me. I won't say what she did. To offend me. She offended me greatly. So I...
She, like, spoke to him.
So I put her... I put her in art. I put her in art on ours. He, like, put her in a tiny shack.
He entombed
behind
her.
Behind the house.
Yes.
And she's like... And she come up. And she knock on the door. She knock on the door. And I said, no say good morning. I no say good morning to her. And then she come up next day. Knock on the door. And I no say good morning. I no say good morning. She offend me. What she say offend me greatly. And
right.
I was just like, what did she say?
He just kept her captive.
What did you do? You put her in a shack.
Yeah.
And then
you're
got
about to kill your wife.
You got to see, though. I'm going to put that one up on the Facebook page just to see the reenactment of his accident. Because he got into a car accident. And the African actors they got to act him is just him, guy going like, oh, no, I mean an accident. And then they're like, goes up. Right. She's like, please, Manto, don't die. Please, don't die. And she's just like,
very nice.
I'm dying. And her name is, his wife's name is Niga. That's her, his wife's name.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And it? So,
you sure just, about that?
Yes.
It's just
sure is. That's her name.
If you listen,
okay,
you listen to it.
I mean, some people are, that could be a name. It's yeah. possible.
It's a plausible
it's
name.
Very, sure.
It's interesting.
Very questionable.
Yeah.
It's just like the whole thing. It's just like, you know, and then when this nigga woman came to speak with me, I knew for a fact that there was like just saying stuff like that,
you know,
throughout the whole thing, and I was just like, oh God, I'm gonna die.
It happens.
I had a good time last night.
I like it. So we've
I ate an entire pint of ice cream.
Oh, you don't even have to say that. We all know that. That's just always assumed every time we see you. So we've dabbled in hell. Can we talk about heaven for a second?
Well, I want to do one more story about hell.
Okay. Please do.
Yes, one more. This is from a woman named Mary Baxter.
Mm.
She wrote a book called Testimonies of Heaven and Hell.
I love this. This is a great one.
Oh, I love
She's hilarious too.
She is fantastic. In 1976, for a period of 40 days, Jesus took Mary Baxter to hell and heaven,
okay,
where she describes her experience to what sinners without Christ would feel. She describes how, quote, instantly my soul was taken out of my body. I went with Jesus up out of my room and into the sky. It was as though I had died and my body was left behind on the bed while my spirit was going with Jesus up through the top of the house.
Ah.
Jesus then took me to hell.
Oh,
the old switcher, the old Jesus switcheroo.
Classic.
Slam
it down. Slam it down.
Phantom of the Opera. yes.
She describes hell as being shaped like a human body lying in the center of the earth. The body is lying on her back with both arms.
You know what
arms.
Also this reminds me of, just real quick? You know, like, the details that the kids talked about when they were remembering, like, the satanic ritual abuse?
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting about how all these thoughts are very similar.
They are.
Like, in terms of the way they describe things as being very, it's very childlike and dumb sounding.
Oh. Yes, Jesus said, as I have a body of believers, so hell has a body of sin and death with many chambers of torment.
Nice.
And this, she saw, I love this, she describes strobe lights and ugly snakes slithering about.
Oh, she hated the seventh.
This is my,
oh, yeah, yeah. If she was in 1992 in the meatpacking district.
That's rough. It's a rough
This is my
go.
Favorite. There was a preacher who was about 6 feet tall, and his skeleton was a dirty grayish color, like a tombstone. Parts of his clothing still hung on him. She says, I wondered why the flames had left these torn and tattered clothes and had not burned them up. Burning flesh was hanging from him, and his skull seemed to be in flames. A terrible odor comes from him. She continues.
Just Mike Lawrence?
Mike Lawrence, of course, a nice little comedian fella.
She continues, as we left that night, I saw a group of demons coming up to a coffin. They were about 3 feet high, dressed in black clothes with black hoods over their faces.
That's just from Phantasm.
They were taking shifts, tormenting a soul. And my now this is my favorite part. The fun center.
Oh, yes, hell's fun center.
Jesus told me there is a place in hell called the Fun Center, which is a Roman gladiator pit. And in this Roman gladiator pit, Satan watches upon.
And he's a lot like, you know, the Satan. Do you remember that old movie Legion? The old movie Legend? It's just like him.
It's just all, everything that she has is just, she just watched a bunch of horror movies and these are fucked up nightmares.
Yeah.
And she
says, and of course,
says,
Gladiator as well, because she loves Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what she says, what happens in the Fun Center is that people who led good people astray in heaven are tormented by the people that they themselves did lead astray.
But what I also love is they make this case of Satan a lot of times in these things that it sounds honestly just like the U.S. government, where they would take a good person. They say the one example is that first guy was a pastor.
Yeah.
Where they took this good person. Satan sent him a bunch of demons to tempt him,
sure,
and got him going, get him tempted, and then just killed him.
Yeah, Satan
like, gotcha.
Killed him.
You know, and same thing like what we did with the Boston Marathon.
Think about it. What confuses me about this, though, and maybe you'll have some answers, is so are these people that are torturing the tormentors, that the people that were tortured on Earth and tormented by these people and now are tormenting these folks, is that their heaven?
Jesus did not specify.
I just feel like it's very confusing.
She just said, I mean, I know, I agree.
Yeah, Hitler should love it down there.
Right.
Right?
I would think so. Well, him and Pope John Paul and Selena. I mean, that's the thing. If you want a good concert, go to hell.
Oh, my God.
Michael Jackson, Selena.
Michael Jackson.
That's about it, but who else do you need?
Hitler and Pope John Paul. Fucking Selena. right? And they're laughing.
All the way to the hell bank.
And here's an example of Jesus being an asshole. One night he brought her to hell and said, "You must experience hell fully."
Why?
And
why though?
She said, "I looked at myself and saw that holes were beginning to appear all over my remaining flesh. I began to turn a dirty gray color, and gray flesh fell off me. There were holes in my sides, my legs, my hands,
and then
and
I started
arms.
Getting Botox with Dr. Zizmore. Thanks, Dr. Zizmore.
I cried out, "Oh no, I am in hell forever. Oh no."
That's what you say when you're in hell forever.
That is a direct quote, by the way.
Oh no, I'm in hell forever.
And then Jesus stopped it. It's like, so that's what hell's like. Go tell the people.
I mean, he's him and that Castro character are very similar, it sounds like. You torture and torture somebody, and then finally you give them a sweet release, and then you're in love with Jesus. Jesus just hurt you terribly bad.
What are you talking about?
Castro, the fellow who kept
the women. Yeah, but I mean, like, they fell for Jesus, all the women did?
Well, the women, that I'm sure that they were religious.
No, that's so retarded, because no way a God could exist that would allow them to be self-captive and raped for 10 years.
Well,
right?
You never know.
God...
What I'm saying is,
he's not concerned with man.
He's asleep at the wheel!
He is. No, you torture somebody, and then you stop torturing them, and then they love you because you stop torturing them, even though you're the one.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what Christianity is.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of Stockholm Syndrome.
And then finally, after all this time in hell, he finally brings her to heaven.
That's nice.
And he says, the angel says, "Behold the power and might and majesty of God. Let me show you the place he has created for the children."
God.
And all at once, there was a large planet looming before her, a planet as large as Earth.
Oh my God, the Mormons were right.
Interesting.
The Lord explains what happens to aborted babies then.
Oh, what happens?
That's his opener?
I think it's just what was on her mind.
Oh,
at
yeah.
The time.
Well, no, first we take the scissors out of their necks.
Aborted babies? Yeah, come on, what happened to aborted babies? It's like, well, Elvis turns them into coleslaw.
That's something. Nibbles them down.
My angels go down and bring the children to me when they die. I have a place where they can grow, learn, and be loved. I give them whole bodies and restore whatever parts they are missing.
But isn't that better than being alive?
So much better.
Right?
So much better.
Yeah, they're really making a pro-choice
argument. You're in heaven already, and you have a glorified body. He says, I give them glorified bodies.
Yeah, look at our bodies. Look like a bunch of pancake batter, shot into a bunch of dirty pants.
Oh, my God.
A bunch of aborted babies looking like Dwight Howard up there.
I look like a half-eaten corn dog stick.
It's just sad.
It's sad.
Marcus, can you throw out one more behold, please? Because I really enjoyed when you said that.
Behold!
That's great. I just pictured an angel just practicing in the mirror, like, I'm going to get my behold right
behold!
Today.
Behold!
Still not quite there, Sammy.
Behold!
But...
You're screaming it too much. I was like, behold, behold!
Now you're just kind of whispering strangely.
I'm not going to say that. I just don't think you're a right fit.
You know what? Try sucking on a couple of lozenges and come back in 3,000 years. We have eternity. So.
There is another wonderful account of heaven. This is written. It's a Christian book written by Mr. Todd Burpo.
Yes, Todd Burpo, and I believe his son Colton Burpo.
Yep. And it's called...
What fucking country is Burpo from?
The Burpos? I believe they're American.
Is that Italian? Is that Italian?
We come from a long line of Burpos. God, it's a tough name to be proud of. Burpo.
You're a Burpo, son. Go out there and act like it. Okay.
Hey, little girl, why don't you come here and touch my nuts?
By the way, this was a number one New York Times bestseller.
Sure.
It's called Heaven is for Real, a little boy's astounding story of his trip to heaven and back.
Burpo. God, nothing.
Fucking retarded.
Like the kid wasn't going to have a hard enough time anyway in life with the last name Burpo. Now he's the weirdo who went to heaven for.
There was also like Angelica would talk about, the angels, they come with me to school. Like she was, what a fucking nuts person. Also, I forgot to say that they told her, God told her they were going to kill her on the 20th day. And I went to my mother and I said, oh, mother, they're going to kill me in the 21st day. And they laughed and I laughed and everyone commented like, why are you laughing? You are going to be dying. And I was like, no, I get to go see the Lord. And they're all laughing and we laughed.
That's
and
good.
I gave all my
joke.
Things away. And it's like a 16-year-old girl that just got taken there, and she's like, the mother's telling all the relatives, it's like, the Lord's going to kill her in a week. You know, and they're all
exciting.
Like, yay! You know, it's like, I was sitting there thinking about, like, these people live in a house.
These people, like, all sit. These people you go to school with, they could be working at Sweetleaf next door right now. They could be, like, making coffee, looking and seeing a giant centurion angel in front of them with giant wings. Just going, like, soon.
Soon, yes. Yes, very soon you will be with me. Well, I've got to make this espresso, so I don't have time to deal with
that
you right now.
It scares the shit out of me.
It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. All right, go back to Burpo.
Yeah,
Burpo.
So, Colton, that he says that during the months after emergency surgery, he began describing events and people that seemed impossible for him to have seen or met. Examples included...
You know what that means? Ritalin. Boom!
He's got ADHD.
Examples include his miscarried sister.
Oh, he saw his miscarried sister because his mother was crying in the living room every time he walked in.
Oh, absolutely.
And just told him all about Samantha.
There should have been two of you, Colton Burpo. There should have been a little Farty Burpo as well.
Yes, we were going to name her Farty Burpo. Just to go so well with the overall bowly sound of our name. Farty Burpo.
Like Farty Beth Burpo is a great
Farty
name.
Farty Teresa Burpo.
Oh, yes. Of course, Teresa after Mother Teresa.
And Burpo after burps and Farty after farts.
So to meet the great-great-grandfather who came over here, he got to the land, he's like, you've got to choose a last name. And he just burped. You're Burpo. God damn it! I didn't want to burp when I got I promised myself I wasn't going to burp.
I shouldn't have had them chili dogs with Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, which this guy just dumps in his pants. You're a Schatz. I'm sorry. God damn it.
Oh.
This is awful.
And he also said that he met his great-grandfather, who had died 30 years before Colton was born.
Mm-hmm.
He also met extra-biblical...
He got hit by a train while raping an Asian woman.
Ah, that's how all Burpo men died before the 1960s.
Another classic Burpo death.
He made extra-biblical claims that he personally... Yeah, he personally...
Shh, I think I can hear a Burpo coming.
He personally met Jesus riding a rainbow-colored horse.
Uh-huh. Very nice.
That was just being fed buckets of cum by Elton John.
Yeah, they gave him all the toys they were going to give to that girl that got miscarried.
And he sat in Jesus' lap while the angels sang songs to him.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Jamie Mack, when are you coming back? Oh, Jamie Mack.
You're a cool Jesus.
This is amazing.
I love it.
Burpo is fucking cursed.
So, and also this book was ghostwritten by the same guy who wrote Going Rogue, Sarah Palin's book.
Yes. So it's all facts.
It's a whole fucking
group
of idiots.
Yeah. Burpo.
And what I've noticed in a lot of my research of near-death experiences among Christians, and specifically among the fucking batshit crazy ones, is that there is a whole group of Christians who are anti-near-death experience. And they say they're completely against it because they say that the testimonies that the near NDE people give
are ridiculous and stupid and not real.
Completely contradict what the Bible says. And in fact, one of the...
Because the Bible, of course, says... No Burpo shall pass through these doors.
Woman that I married, Baxter, I found out about her story from reasonistruthministries.com.
Yeah.
Because they went through and just ripped her a new one.
They didn't like
real
her, bad. Huh?
Real one-star review.
One star.
That is unfair.
One star. And one of the main reasons they gave, you know why? Jesus never, ever, ever, except for once, which was just a birth announcement, never gave the power of prophecy to a woman.
Just wouldn't do it.
I mean, it's a dude's game.
That's
if you want to be a prophesizer, you got to be a man.
I mean, that's the one major flaw they have with it. It's just very interesting. You could pick it apart in a lot of different ways, but they just went right for the gender.
You really, yeah, exactly.
That was their bigot. That was the one thing that they kept harping on over and over.
Right.
But there is something to some of these experiences. I really think that there is
shared. I mean, there a lot of things get shared throughout. You know,
the more and more we see the fact that, you know, our long-term memory is not held inside of our brains. We access it by some sort of cloud formation. They're starting to see that is real. There is something
something outside of the human body. It does move with something. It could possibly hold our personal information into it. We don't know.
Yes.
You know? But it's like, I just don't know. I think our brain puts on a show for us.
Yeah,
I think that you go and do a thing.
Honestly, I think your body just goes through a bunch of trauma. And they're like, well, it's time to make you feel amazing because you're about to die.
Yeah exactly. And you just shoot me into, it's just going to be me in a taco salad with all the meat made out of a bunch of boobs.
That's going to be a heaven or a hell for you, by the way.
That's heaven, baby!
That's heaven, okay.
And I went to Yahoo Answers to ask, and I asked some people what happens when you die.
Oh, yes, I can't wait to hear what Yahoo Answers responds with.
They tend to be right.
And Mosen says, when you die, your chemical and electrical charge of your brain dies, so nothing after it.
Nothing. Fascinating.
And I think that's the best answer.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, definitely.
Well, that's true, though. A lot of drug addicts, when they go through, if you like OD on heroin and stuff, a lot of drug addicts just say they've experienced nothing because their brain's all, you know, dripped full of all the liquid, all the serotonin, all those things were already gone.
Well, I had a very interesting mushroom experience speaking with an otherworldly entity.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And
what happened?
I spoke with the Big Lebowski.
You did.
Yeah. I did, yeah. And he said he came to me in a form that in which that he thought would not upset me in a way, in a form that I could understand.
So he was a burrito.
Hello. Benjamin.
I don't know if you're aware of this. Henry has a bit of a weight issue. That's why we make fun of him so
all
very
the time.
Much.
All the time.
It's okay. Don't.
I'm going to die early.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're never going to die.
I had chest pains yesterday.
Why?
Because I'm stressed out.
Why are you stressed?
Because the world's falling apart.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's very true.
An Irish girl told me, when I conk the government, people will have to bury me because I don't have any family.
Cool.
that's the worst afterlife yet.
I mean, that is definitely what will happen when she dies.
Yeah.
That's what's called being an Irish family. It's just being a single, alone woman living in a bog.
And I found one. What should I tell my 10-year-old daughter about what happens when you die? Because her grandfather is dying.
Yeah, of course.
And there's so many people that are like, you know what? Just tell her the truth.
Just have her read the Purple Book.
Yeah, it said, never lie to your children. They will always remember. Instead, be honest but age appropriate. Go to John 11:11-13. Show her what Jesus said about death. He compared it to sleep. As she grows older, you can go to Ecclesiastes 9:5-10, which goes into details about the condition
and
of the
dead. And the soul is torn asunder by thousands of hooks. They go and the hot dog meat from the brain is turned into a burrito for Satan himself.
That's the thing. As soon as my kid asks me, like, what happens after you die? I'm going to be like, well, let's see what Clive Barker has to say about it. Shall we? Turns out a lot of pins are involved.
And one more thing. Someone asked, do you want to see what happens after you die? It was written by some sad bastard. I really want to see what happens when I die. I want to die right now. My life is miserable. Why should I stay alive? My life is miserable. There's no need for me to stay alive. I'm very excited to see what happens after I die. I want to see it right now. I deserve it as much as I
would. Pussy alert.
In this crappy life on this crappy earth.
Alert.
And user Banana said, and that's in all caps, you need to get laid. Pull your head out of your ass and get me my burger and fries. You're a loser only if you choose to be one.
Woo!
The only Yahoo answer I've ever agreed with.
I see like a 50-year-old black dude with like an afro just been like, come on, man. What you need to do is learn how to dance. Ain't no reason to
get
be sad.
Get some boogie in your step. You get a boogie in your step, then them clouds just boogie away.
Oh, my God. That banana black man is right.
He is right. I like his style.
I can't believe that I met Banana at just the right time. This is ladies' night, and it's feeling right.
Let's wrap it up.
Well,
here.
Not.
What a great conversation, guys.
Yeah.
All right. That's
just sit back and enjoy the view.
Yes, indeed. So hail Satan, everybody.
Can we be the new view?
That would be great.
Of course we can.
That would be great. I would love to
just start calling ourselves the new view.
But do the thing that Ronald Reagan mask, where the Max Headroom guy thing, like when the guy interrupted the broadcast. I saw that a while ago. But I love doing, like, imagining us, like, hopping in. And it's just us sitting in a boiler room with a table, just being like, and welcome to the view, you know? And it's like us just, like, cutting off a dude's fake penis every once in a while, like, yeah, and put it in a hot dog bun, like, ow, ow, like, licking it.
It'll be a different show. I like it, though.
And he's just screaming, ah! Everyone, meet our guest, Bradley Cooper.
Oh, my goodness. So what's the show all about? Oh, you'll see. You'll find out very, very soon.
Let's cut open his balls to see this candy in him. Heard he's got pinata balls.
It's sweeps week. Let's do it.
Well, right, thank you so much for listening to the program.
Thank you. Magustalations.
Magustalations.
Hail me!
Hail Gene.
And of course, hail yourself, everybody.
Hail Satan as well, first, because if not, you're going to hell.
Or you're going to go to heaven.
The fun center in hell.
Yeah, the fun center.
Yeah, the fun center.
We're going to go to the fun center, and all of you people shall be torturing us because we're leading you astray!
Uh-oh.